There he goes into that drugstore. He's stepping on the scales.
Weight 239 pounds. Fortune, danger.
Who is it?
The Fat Man.
And now here's the Fat Man in Murder Makes the Payoff.
It was one of those brisk, clear mornings in early spring. And I'd gone uptown to say hello to Henry. They were letting him out today. Poor guy had been in for the last 5 months. Henry hadn't done anything to deserve the rap. It's just that Henry is a lion. And he spent the winter months in a nice, warm indoor cage. I walked around the zoo for a couple of hours enjoying spring in New York. And suddenly realized it was a working day. I grabbed a cab and headed for my office, where I found the phone clanging away as I walked in. Runyon speaking.
I must see you at once, Runyon. My wife is in terrible danger.
Who is this?
George Mitchell, United Bank and Trust.
Well, Mr. Mitchell, you know where my office is.
I can't come to your office, Mr. Runyon. It's too dangerous. You see, I might be followed, and no one, you understand, no one must know that I've come to you.
I see. All right. You know a place called Clemens Bar and Grill? It's about 2 blocks east of my office on the same street.
Clemens Bar and Grill? No, I don't know it, but I'll find it. I'll be there in 15 minutes.
I'll be waiting for you.
How will I know you?
Well, I won't wear a red carnation, Mr. Mitchell. They don't call me the Fat Man because I'm anemic. I hadn't been waiting more than 3 minutes when George Mitchell rushed into the bar. He was a big guy and heavy. He looked as if there wasn't a situation he couldn't handle. But right now he was nervous, in a hurry. And the door seemed to jump off its hinges as he banged it closed behind him. Hey, take it easy, mister. You'll live longer.
I'll thank you to... Oh, you must be Runyon.
That's right.
I can't go to the police, Mr. Runyon. These men will kill us.
Whoa, simmer down, Mr. Mitchell. We'll do better if we start at the beginning.
You must forgive me. I haven't had any sleep since it happened, and it was 3 days ago.
Since what happened?
I received a note. A note telling me to bring $10,000 to them.
We'll get around to them later. Right now, I'd like to see this note.
I brought it with me. Here.
Yeah. You've got a nice wife. If you want to keep her that way, bring $10,000 to the Northland Pier on West 53rd Street Tuesday night, 1 a.m. Do it like we say, or your wife comes home in a box.
There. You see now why I...
Yeah. This is Friday. What happened Tuesday?
Well, that's just it, Mr. Runyon. Nothing happened.
Nothing.
I drew the money from my bank and went to the pier alone, as they told me. I waited and waited, and no one came. Finally, I went home. But then I got a phone call to go down to the pier again tonight at the same time.
You know, Mr. Mitchell, the police should handle this.
I don't want anything handled. I want to pay them off, but I want you around in case I run into difficulty.
I know what you mean. Have you any idea who them is? Or should I say are?
No, I haven't any idea. I just want to get it out of the way. Now, here's the money, all $10,000 of it. I'd prefer that you carry it. And here's an additional $500 for yourself. That should cover your fees.
It covers it. Okay, Mr. Mitchell, you've got yourself a private detective. Now, let's go calling.
Calling?
Yeah. We don't have to go down to the pier till late tonight. I'd like to meet Mrs. Mitchell first. I don't want to wait till she comes home in a box. We left Clemens Bar and Grill and headed for my car, which was parked 3 blocks away. The street was crowded with people, yet Mitchell walked along with his head down, his shoulders hunched, not saying a word. Once I tried to draw him out of it, but it seemed that he told me everything he was going to. And from now on, anything I wanted to know, I had to find out for myself. We hadn't gone more than a block when suddenly, and without my turning round, I knew instinctively that Mr. George Mitchell and I had uninvited company in the crowd. Mitchell, keep looking ahead and don't change your pace. Now listen to me.
What?
Listen. We picked up a shadow. Just keep walking. Okay, now let's go look at those antiques in that window. I want to see what our friend looks like.
Which one is he?
Never mind. Look at the antiques. I can see him in that big mirror over the Grand Rapids Chippendale. He stopped to look in the other window.
Oh, yes. I can see him now. A rather short and heavy-set, dark complexion.
That's our boy. Ever seen him before?
No. No, I'm sure I haven't.
He's not very smart. If he knew anything about tailing, he'd have walked past us when we stopped and picked us up further down the street.
Well, what do you suggest we do about him?
Nothing. Look, give me our card. You hail a cab and go home. If he follows you, I'll hit him off. There's a cab now. Hey, cab!
I hope you know what you're doing. Here's my card.
Okay, now. Take this cab and I'll see you at your place later. I waited for Mitchell's cab to turn the next corner while I kept an eye on the mirror and the little guy who was so interested in us. Then I started off down the street the way I'd come, with the little bloodhound right after me. When I came to the corner, I walked round it slowly, then switched back and flattened myself against the wall. He walked right into the oldest setup in the business. Got a match, Happy?
Huh? Yeah, sure, a match, right here.
Keep the hands out of the pockets, Happy, or I'll tear your head off.
Yeah, sure.
That's better.
Yeah, well, where'd he get this Happy stuff? I don't know no guy named Happy.
I don't play games in the street. I outgrew that a while back. Let's step into Clemens' bar here, and you tell me who's paying you to tail me.
Now, look, mister, you got me all wrong. Honest, you're nuts. I don't know what you're talking about.
No.
Yeah, sure.
What would it be, Jack?
Two beers.
Right.
Look, mister, like I said, you got the wrong guy. My name ain't Happy.
Change the lyric, Buster. You're Happy McCoy, a small-time hustler with a long-time record. I recognized you the minute I spotted you in the street.
Okay. So what do you want from me?
Information, mostly. If I don't get it, we go down to headquarters. You used to pack a knife. Maybe you're loaded right now. You could go back to the can for that.
Look, smart guy, for your information, I'm on parole. Would I have a shiv on me now?
That's too bad. Because for the information I want, there's only one other way to get it.
Hey, what's going on here?
Relax. My friend here is dying of thirst.
Yeah? Well, just cut out the rough stuff. This is a respectable place. Here's your beers.
Thanks. Here's the dough. Keep the change and don't worry.
Say, thanks.
Okay. Now, Happy, do we talk or do we go back to my office and see just how much you can really take?
Yeah, sure, I'm talking. I should take all this for Big Gino. He can take care of himself.
Gino? So he's in this?
Yeah. You know his place downtown?
Yeah, the Pelican Club, I know it.
Yeah, well, there's a roulette layout in the back. Maybe I spend too much time there. Anyway, I'm into the house for a couple of $100. So when Big Gino tells me to do a job, I do it.
And the job?
Tail a certain guy. Get a line on who he sees. And then report to Big Gino.
What certain guy?
The guy you were just talking to. Big Gino showed me his picture.
Okay. Let's go down to the Pelican Club and you can make your report to Gino.
You crazy? Look, so you scare me so I talk too much. But Big Gino scares me so I drop dead. Besides, go take a walk for yourself, fatso. Go on, beat it.
Getting tough again.
Fatso, I got backing now. There's a beautiful doll sitting in a booth behind you. Here, go ahead, take a look. That thing in her hand, she's pointing at you. That ain't the menu.
I turned from the bar and looked at the row of booths that ran along the opposite wall. And sure enough, sitting in a booth right behind us was a slim, cool blonde in a dark, shiny mink. The last time I'd seen her, she'd been third from the left in the front line of the chorus at the old Crystal Club. As I remembered her, and it had been a good many years ago, there'd been a lot more of her to see. She still looked beautiful, even with a small nickel-plated revolver in her hand hidden with a handkerchief but pointed right at my head. Okay, sweetheart. You call the next move.
That's right, Batman. Now you're being smart. It's the boy goodbye coming to find me.
Like the nice lady says, fatso.
Beat it, Happy. You're lucky for now.
I ain't scared of you no more, you understand? I'm leaving real slow and easy, as I want to. See?
Bartender, bring my drink over to this table. I'm joining the lady.
Look, mister, we don't allow that sort of thing in here. This is a respectable place.
The lady asked me, didn't you, sweetheart?
That's right. Sit down, Mr. Runyon.
See? Now, be a nice guy.
Okay. Okay.
You can put the artillery away, sweetheart. If I'd wanted to go for Happy before he got out of the door, I would have.
I guess you would at that.
Tell me, why do you cover a guy like that? Or do I...
Oh, I'll tell you. Happy's a friend of a friend of mine.
You move in interesting circles.
I just happened to see you tag him in the street a few minutes ago. I slipped in and sat in this booth while you were slapping him around.
I see, Linda. It is Linda, isn't it?
You have a good memory. Yes, Linda.
Linda Kellerman, the Crystal Club and the front line of the chorus. Yeah, I remember as if it was yesterday.
Yesterday, plus about 15 years.
That was Gino's place, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's where he got his start.
And that's where I first ran into Happy McCoy, Gino's stooge and number one hatchet man. You still working for Gino?
I'm a married woman now. I left the chorus in the Crystal Club and Big Gino years ago.
So the big rescue act for Happy a few minutes ago was just for old time's sake, huh?
You might call it that.
Well, I think I'll say hello to your ex-boss just for old time's sake. And by the way, Linda, since it's not Kellerman anymore...
It's Mitchell now.
It wouldn't be Mrs. George Mitchell.
That's right. Mrs. George Mitchell. The gal who's coming home in a box.
Linda was the gal some guy was gunning for. At least according to the note her husband had showed me. But aside from the $10,000, which might easily be reason enough, she couldn't or wouldn't tell me why. And her husband said he didn't know. But like her husband, Linda also impressed me as someone who could take pretty good care of herself. I left her in Kremen's Bar and Grill and went back to my office. There I called headquarters and got the dope on Happy McCoy's current status with the police. After mulling the thing over for a while, I decided to have another talk with George Mitchell. He lived in a converted private house in the upper 70s near Central Park. And there was a cop and a small crowd milling around the front door when my cab stopped.
Sorry, Mr. Runyon. I can't let you go in. Those are the orders.
Me in particular, officer?
Nobody, Mr. Runyon. There's been a killing in there, and nobody goes in, and nobody goes out.
A killing?
A killing. And a fine job they did of it, too.
Who is it?
Mr. George Mitchell.
Wouldn't let me into Mitchell's house, so I headed for Big Gino. Big Gino had run four or five speaks during Prohibition, but with repeal and the drop in the market, he'd gone legitimate. Maybe running a club with a gambling layout in back wasn't legitimate in the strict sense of the word, but compared to some of his previous activities, you'd call it that. Anyway, he was a tough boy, and we'd played cops and robbers on several occasions. I got a thorough going over by two of his boys before I was ushered into his private office.
Well, fat man. So long, I forget what you look like. Always nice to see old friends.
I'm deeply touched, Gino. Your boys frisked me when I came in. I'd like my gun back when I leave.
Of course, my friend. When you leave. Why you come to my club so early? We don't open till the 7th.
Business.
Business? With me? I'm a clean these days, fat man. Clean and legit.
Do you know a clean and legit hustler named Happy McCoy?
Never heard of him.
Gino, I used to like the floor show at the old Crystal Club. Remember?
Yeah, I remember.
Happy was on your payroll.
So?
So I think he's still on your payroll. Also, I just called headquarters. They told me about his parole record. You're at the top of the list of people he's supposed to stay away from.
He has my sympathy.
It won't do, Gino. Happy tailed me today. I tagged him.
And this Happy put the finger on me?
No. I'm putting the finger on you.
Are you in business for yourself?
For a client, Gino. And for a girl named Linda Mitchell. Remember her? Used to work for you.
Look, Fat Man. I've been real nice to you. I'll let you come in here, take up my time, and say many stupid things to me. Now I am tired of being nice. There is the door over there. Use it while you still can.
Okay, Gino. As I said, this is for a client. Unless the right guy gets paid off, Linda Mitchell's in trouble. My client can't make the payoff, so I'm doing it tonight at the Northland Pier on West 53rd Street.
You bore me, Fat Man.
Maybe you and I are on the same side, Gino.
I don't think so. You and me, we are never on the same side about anything. You understand? Now get out. Stay away from me.
Yeah, boss?
This guy is leaving, Nicky.
Okay, boss.
I think you're making a mistake, Gino.
Beat it. Hey, Nicky. Give him back his gun. Maybe he'll shoot himself with it. Save somebody the trouble.
I went back uptown to the late George Mitchell's house just off Central Park. The homicide boys had finished taking pictures and powdering the place for prints, so the cop on duty let me in. I got the maid aside and gave her a small token, not too small at the current rate of exchange, for which she took me up the back stairs, past the reporters, and showed me into the upstairs sitting room. Then she went to call her mistress.
You're just a bit late, aren't you, Mr. Runyon?
We'll see. Maybe I'm just a bit early. You don't quite fit the picture of the bereaved widow, Linda. The press is downstairs. They might not like it.
Look. You're through, Runyon. Finished. Washed up on this case. My husband hired you. My husband is dead.
The word is murdered.
All right, murdered. But I'm paying you off.
There's still the guy who wrote the note to your husband, Linda. He hasn't been paid off yet.
A friend of mine is taking care of that.
A friend named Gino?
I thought you were smart, Runyon. Get up.
Take it easy, sweetheart. As you say, your husband hired me. He hired me to pay off the guy who was going to send you home in a box. And your husband also gave me $10,000 to pay off this guy.
I don't believe you. Anyway, I haven't the slightest idea who would threaten me or why.
All I know is, sweetheart, that I saw the note your husband got and I was paid to do a job.
That $10,000 is legally mine now, Runyon, and I want it.
Even if there isn't any payoff. You wouldn't get it till this whole thing is finished.
We'll see about that.
Look, just for the record, Linda, how did Gino know about the note?
I told him. I went to him after George showed it to me.
Why Gino?
Why do you think?
Gino in love with you.
Of course. He always has been. Ever since the old days of the Crystal Club.
You in love with him?
No, dear. I've never been in love with anybody.
I know. Linda just loves Linda.
It makes the decisions easier.
If you're happy that way.
I'm happy. When I married George, Big Gino told me to come and see him if I ever needed help.
And you needed help quite often.
If you mean, did I see Big Gino often? Yes, I did. George was a nice guy. But the United Bank and Trust was his wife, not me. So, Big Gino.
When did your husband find out about Gino?
Look, I told you once.
When? When did your husband find out?
He read something in a column about a month ago. Some gossip column.
Oh, that about ties it all up.
What do you mean?
I'm going down for that payoff tonight. If there's anything in this note, we'll find out. If not, maybe I'll see some old friends, all looking for a right. I left Linda and had myself a steak at my favorite chop house on the corner of 56th Street and 2nd Avenue. I was still puzzled at Linda's lack of concern about the note. After dinner, I killed a couple of hours at a movie about a private eye. What else? Then it was time to take care of George Mitchell's unfinished business. I parked my car at the inshore end of the Northland Pier. A big freighter was tied up alongside, and the only light came from the lamps that hung from the side of the ship over the lines. A watchman's shack stood at the offshore end of the pier, and I started walking towards it.
That's far enough, fat man. Don't reach for it. I got a gun on you, and I want to use it. They're real bad.
Well, Gino, so we're on opposite sides after all.
You work for Mitchell. I don't like your client.
Mitchell's dead, Gino. Somebody killed him.
Yeah, I know. I'm not interested. You got the dough on you?
Sorry. I'll have to give you a check.
A smart guy don't make jokes at a time like this. It's not healthy.
Gino, Linda's husband is dead.
Okay, so he had it coming. But I don't know anything about it.
No, I don't think you do. But the police, Gino...
What about them?
They might think differently. So far, it adds up like this. Mitchell got mad when you moved in on his wife.
I never moved in. I love Linda. But she's another man's wife. And I don't move in while he's around.
He thought you did. So it's the same thing. But, Gino, who wrote that note threatening Linda?
You're the wise guy. Find out.
It wasn't you. But you're down here to get the $10,000 for your girlfriend, aren't you?
That's for my business, fat man.
Well, my business is to find out about that note. And I've got a strong hunch that whoever killed Mitchell will try to collect the dough, whether that note is on the level or not.
Well, your hunches should pay off as good as this one, Pato.
Wow. Hello, Happy.
Happy? That's a big heater for such a little guy.
Yeah.
Happy McCoy, the small-time hustler, Gino. Not so small-time now, huh, Gino? I got you covered from the back, Big Gino. That's bad, ain't it? Big Gino, nuts! Big McCoy now!
Don't be a fool, Happy!
And you, Fatso! You got your gun in your pocket, so go for it. In 2 minutes, you'll get it anyway.
No, I'll wait, thanks. So you're big time now, Happy. Big Happy McCoy. Only I knew it doesn't fit. You want the $10,000 now or later?
Don't make a particle of difference long as I get it.
So you're the boy, Happy, eh? And I put you under the whole thing.
Yes, that's right, Gino. You tell me to tail Mitchell. You tell me to keep an eye on his friends. Try to find out who he pays off. I find out all right. He pays off nobody. The notes are phony.
What do you mean?
I go to his house this morning. I get the truth out of him. I can do cute things with a shiv once I get the jump on a guy. He'll tell me anything. He wrote that note to give himself an alibi and gave Fatso here $10,000 to clinch it. Clear enough for you, Fatso?
Clear as a bell. He was going to kill Linda because he thought you was two-timing him with Gino. That note might have given him a good out.
What?
That's right. But Mitchell didn't behave himself when they had the heat on him this morning. So he had to give it to him for keeps with the shiv. Too bad, eh? Well, you get it with the gun, okay, Gino? You first, and in the back. And Fatso.
Let's take him, Gino.
Okay, fat man. We are coming for you, Happy.
No. Now don't move. Stay away from me, you hear? Don't come near me.
Think fast, Happy. Make up your mind. Gino or me. You get one, we get one. That's fair, isn't it, Happy?
Stop, I tell you. I'll kill you, both of you. I got you both.
You never did like to use a gun, did you? You cheap punk.
No, not Happy McCoy. A knife, maybe, or a blackjack, but never a gun.
We're almost on you, punk.
I'll get you.
Well, we got him, fat man. We got the punk.
Yes, you know. We got him.
Like you said, we get one, he gets one. Take a look. I think maybe it's bad.
Yeah, let's see. That's not so bad. When the cops get here, we'll get you an ambulance.
The cops?
Yeah. But don't worry. This is one shooting mess where I'll keep you in the clear.
I hope you can. Say, Runyon, see that Linda gets the 10 grand. I know what she's like, but I love that dame.
The 10 grand is in the bank where I put it, Gino. I never planned to make this payoff. It sounded phony from the beginning.
It was a tough one, Mitchell. But if Happy wasn't dead, he'd sure be burned.
Don't worry about that, Gino. Where he's going, he'll be burned anyway. Seems I spend my life in getting into trouble and getting out of it. But at the same time, I generally manage to get some other people in and out of trouble, too. Be seeing you again. So long.